I. Mama. Mine. Iti. Thus. Sui kritya. Accepting. Graheshu. In the home. Kumatihi. Whose mind is full of obnoxious thoughts. Grihi, the householder. Tadhyao, turns his attention to. Pramadaya, with his wife. Dinaha, very poor. Viprayoge, when separation. Upasthite, occurred. Translation. King Paranjana was overly attached to his family and conceptions of I and mine. Because he was overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty-stricken. At the time of separation, he became very sorry. So you can repeat. King Paranjana was overly attached to his family and conceptions of I and mine. Because he was overly attached, overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty stricken. At the time of separation, he became very sorry. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is clear in this verse that at the time of death, thoughts of material enjoyment do not go away. This indicates that the living entity, the soul, is carried by the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego. Due to false ego, the living entity still wants to enjoy the material world, and for want of material enjoyment, he becomes sorry or sad. He still makes intellectual plans to further his existence. And therefore, although he gives up the gross body, he is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The transmigration of the subtle body is never visible to material eyes. Therefore, when one gives up the gross body, we think that he is finished. Plans for material enjoyment are made by the subtle body, and the gross body is the instrument for enjoying these plans. Thus, the gross body can be compared to the wife, for the wife is the agent for all kinds of sense gratification. Because of long association with the gross body, the living entity becomes very sad to be separated from it. The mental activity of the living entity obliges him to accept another gross body and continue his material existence. The Sanskrit word stri means expansion. Through the wife, one expands his various objects of attraction, sons, daughters, grandsons, and so on. Attachment to family members becomes very prominent at the time of death. One often sees that just before leaving his body, a man may call for his beloved son to give him charge of his wife and other paraphernalia. He may say, "My dear boy, I am being forced to leave. Please take charge of the family affairs." He speaks in this way, not even knowing his destination. So, hamameti svikritya graheshu kumatir grihi dadyo pramadaiha dino vipra yugo pastite. So, omagana timiranda shaganjana shalakaya chakshur meritam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So, there's an interesting statement here. Because he was overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty-stricken. That's really interesting. So it doesn't mean that his wife spent all of his money. You know, someone may take it like that, you know, because he was overly attached to his wife. He gave his wife all of his credit cards and everything like that. She spent all his money, so he's poverty-stricken. But this is referring to the qualities. You know, poverty-stricken means devoid of good qualities because he was overly attached to his wife. And the same thing happens if the wife is overly attracted to the husband. You know, so it works in both ways, although that's not stated right here. Why is that? There's an interesting reason. First of all, one sees the other person as the source of their happiness or as of their maintenance of everything. Like they say, what? You're all and all to me. You're my sun. You're my moon. You're my stars. I mean, if you hear these romantic statements, of course, the original romantic statements are there in Krishna Lila, from which the romantic statements in this world are perverted reflections. I mean, if you read these books like Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, you'll see the intense love, like Radharani's all in all is Krishna, and Krishna's all in all is Radharani. Isn't it? I mean, it's just like, in that case, Krishna is everything to Radharani, and Radharani is everything to Krishna. And also, in the case of Krishna's devotees, Krishna is everything to them. And also, the devotees are everything to Krishna. Referring to, of course, the topmost devotees, such as Srimati Radharani. That statement is made with Sadavo Ridyamayam, Sadanam Ridyam, Dvaham, Madanyatana Tena Janati, Naham Tevyo Managapi. Where Krishna says that I am in the hearts of the sadhus, the devotees. And he says, in the same way, reciprocating with them, the sadhus are in my heart. And because they know no one else but me, Krishna's referring to the sadhus right now, because they know no one else but me as theirs, I know no one else but them as mine. It's interesting. Reciprocation, because we know that basically Krishna does function on the basis of reciprocation. Yayatam mam prapajante tam sataiva pajamiham. Other verse in the Bhagavad Gita, samoham sarvabhuteshu namadvesho stinami priyaha. He says, I'm equal to everyone. No one is especially a friend. No one is especially an enemy. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend to me, and I'm a friend to him. So, in other words, Krishna is not biased. It's not that someone specifically is dearer to him than someone else. Now, you shouldn't think like that, except for Radharani, she's dearer to him. But anyway, but as far as us guys and girls, that we all are equal to Krishna, but if we give more to Krishna, then Krishna starts thinking of us. If we start, so you want Krishna to think of you? You start thinking of him all day long. But in the material world between, see, husband and wife, it doesn't work like that. You can think of your husband all day long, and he may be thinking of his paramour. All day long, you may be decorating yourself, putting on your earrings, and cooking nice quinoa for him, or whatever. And then, because you don't want to give him a heart attack. So, he's not reciprocating with you, because you think he is, but all day long, he's texting his girlfriend, and somehow or other, you get his mobile phone. And nowadays, of course, they have these devices you attach to the mobile phone, and it can pull off even the text that you've erased. Pretty cool, isn't it? And these other devices that you attach to the bumper of your car, and you can tell where your husband and wife has been all day long, or your child has been. So it may be one-sided, your so-called reciprocation with someone in this world. You'd be giving your heart, giving your love, and they couldn't give a damn about you. I mean, it happens sometimes like that. So, but with Krishna, that's why it's nice to give our love to Krishna. Because it's not that Krishna doesn't give a damn about us. I mean, he's worried about us from the beginning, even if we don't give ourselves to him. And then if we start thinking of him, he thinks about us. Pretty cool, isn't it? You can have God think of you by thinking of him. You think about it. I mean, so many verses are there. I'm not going to recite all the verses. That you want to have God think of you. Imagine if you try that with your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever friend. You think of them and then they'll think of you. You know, you'd like to think it like that. You know, he said, I had a dream about you last night. You were taking me to Disneyland or something. And this person said, yes, do you remember that dream? No, I don't remember that dream. I mean, even sometimes as a spiritual master, people said, I had a dream about you last night and you gave me that instruction. Do you remember that dream, Gurudev? I said, no. What instruction did I give you? He said, go hang gliding. Now, I don't remember giving you that instruction. Anyways, so the point is that we can have Krishna think of us. And that's good because Krishna is nitya nityanam chaitanam chaitananam eko bhavanam yavadati kam. So Krishna is the all in all. Aham sarvasya prabhu. And you understand? We're thinking our husband is all in all. Aham sarvasya prabhu, about the husband, you know. He's the source of everything. From him, the entire money flows. Is it like you can see all these verses that are there in Bhagavad Gita, the relationship to Krishna, in so-called loving relationships, many of them people apply them to their mates. Think about that for a second. Aham sarvasya prabhu. That's like a romantic statement. You know, he is the source of everything. From him, my whole life flows. Knowing this, you know, machita, magata, my thoughts are absorbed in him. And I, what is it? I'm driving bodhiyatas, chimam, nichap, katanticha, ramanticham, deriving great satisfaction and bliss by talking about him and thinking about him. And we do that with our, not only with a husband and wife, we do that with our family members. You know, we have the picture of our little kid up there, you know, Petunia or Josh or something like that. And it's just, we apply the Bhagavad Gita verses to our body and to family members, right? Think about it for a second. It's really cool. I mean, it's not cool, but it's really interesting how we're doing that. The same verses that were meant, you know, everything's resting on my husband just like pearls are resting on the thread. Maya. Anyway, so... Uh-oh. Okay. Giving $1,000 donation for the new temple. But... Thank you. You can collect it from other people, too. You don't have to give it yourself. So... they can wait till later. That's good. That's all right. It's only embarrassing when my phone goes off and I'm giving class. So that's why you become poverty stricken, because you're putting all your love and trust and faith, and you're becoming controlled by that person too. That's another point. You're controlled. And then you feel all these symptoms of guilt. If the person has trouble, it's my fault. I did everything wrong. I mean, that's called codependency. That comes from it. That makes one really poverty-stricken when one's codependent, isn't it? That, you know, the person is responsible. Obviously, everyone's responsible for their own decisions. But you're taking responsibility for their decisions. You know, my wife is unhappy. It's my fault. What can I do? You know, like the wife starts crying. And you think, it's my fault, what did I do? And you're getting all anxiety, started shaking, or your husband's angry and he starts beating you, you know, it's my fault, he beat me. You know, isn't that happens sometimes. So, that also makes you poverty stricken, that codependency type of thing. You understand? You understand how codependency, you actually take, it's your fault that, you know, he's a mass murderer or something, whatever. It's your fault he doesn't chant his rounds. It's your fault, you know, whatever. So you're so dependent on, you can't envision life without the person. When it's actually Krishna supplying all the needs to all living entities since time immemorial. It's just like, I can't live without you. Right? And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that people shouldn't have affection. And so, you know, I don't want to get too extreme, you know, be a sannyasi and say that householders shouldn't like each other. They shouldn't go through life calling each other nonsense and maya. You know, there should be natural affection, Prabhupada said. But if that affection becomes manifest to over-attraction and over-dependence on others, like Prabhupada said, Overdependence on another's mercy, not referring to Krishna or the spiritual master, overdependence on another's mercy weakens one, makes one very weak. You know, one has to learn to stand on their own two feet. Like devotional service, for example, is, Prabhupada said, is compared at the time of death to flying your own airplane. You know, you have to learn how to fly your own airplane because the trainer is not going to be there next to you at the time of death. So you really have to become strong in Krishna consciousness. I mean, yes, association helps us, but the association should make us very, very strong so that we're able to think independently, act independently, and depend on Krishna, because ultimately everyone's going to have to take sannyas at the time of death. And I hate to tell you that. You know, everyone's got to be a sannyasi. And if you're not a sannyasi at the time of death, you know, then yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Yajitianti kalevaram, tam tam ivaiti kuntiya. So that what you're thinking of, that's what you're going to do. And you're going to take, let's say you're attached, like described here, to all the, you know, your wife and all these different things like that, and your family, sons, daughters, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then that's what happens in the next life. You take birth, perhaps in the same family, but as their dog. You know, the husband becomes the dog, the wife becomes the cat. The goldfish. Anyway, so you really should become a sannyasi at the time of death. And sannyas means to depend on Krishna, understand that Krishna is providing, obviously he's using your husband or your wife as an intermediary. But it's Krishna who's providing. And Krishna will continue to provide even if your husband's not there. And it's Krishna giving you happiness, not anyone else. I mean, that's really sannyas consciousness. So one has to develop that gradually so at the time of death they're not overly attached to their paraphernalia. Affection is one thing. I mean, we can be affectionate to so many people. Just like, you know, we have people give donations to the temple. We're affectionate to them. Or people come to the temple. But we don't think that we need them. There's a difference between, like we call it, over-attachment is like, can't live without it. Can't live without them. Or we need them. And then you become a dancing dog. Like even in the ISKCON, for example, like if you think you need someone, then you become a dancing dog and you perform so many karma kanja activities just to keep the person as a member of your society, and you pollute your whole Krishna consciousness. You understand what I'm talking about? So when that is over dependence, it leads you to neglect your actual self-interest. And you pollute your Krishna consciousness, you pollute your regular principle. I mean, just everything goes blue. That's why it said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when one takes charity from a materialist and uses it for themselves, that can contaminate the mind. There was that story of Raghunath Das Goswami accepting the charity from his father and his uncle and using even to entertain Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he gave it up, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that he wasn't taking that money and the goods from them. So we have to be careful about this. The point is, you know, over-attraction, over-dependence on the mercy of others, and thinking ourselves responsible for others, you know, 100%. You know, we take responsibility, but ultimately Krishna is doing everything and providing for us and maintaining us. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.